College officials and boards of trustees across the country are scrambling to strengthen their oversight of sex abuse after the scandals at Penn State and Syracuse University. Now, the Clery Act, a federal statute, already requires that schools taking part in the federal financial and program report crimes on campus, but schools are now tightening up internal procedures. Last Friday, during a conference call, athletics officials and senior representatives from the NCAA discussed compiling a list of best practices for dealing with allegations of abuse. Brad Wolverton is covering the story for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Brad, what's actually driving this? Obviously, there was a lot of horror after the story at Penn State. But what else is compelling schools to take a look at what they should do?
Well, obviously, this is a terrible story, and the lawyers are really the story now. They're out in full force looking at liability issues for colleges and really taking a look at how colleges treat minors and how they handle abuse claims. And they're looking at anything from, you know, prospective students who come on their campuses to kids who come around for camps, to interns, to student managers for basketball teams, for example, who take road trips and whether they can room with coaches, things like that. There's just a lot of discussion now about how to protect the kids who visit colleges, but also how to protect the colleges themselves from liability.
I think people forget how many young people are on college campuses for different reasons. You mentioned camps and people taking trips with kids. People forget how often that happens with minors.
Well, there's certainly a lot of contact around college sports programs, and that's where it seems to be the primary emphasis right now. I mean, the summer camp issue is a very interesting one because a lot of the coaches have contracts to run these camps by themselves, and so there's very little oversight by the university. A lot of students will come on campus, young kids, you know, they'll stay for a week. They're typically monitored by college-age kids who are on the campus coaching and teaching them, and they typically don't room with any of those adults, but they're in very close contact with them, and so the colleges are asking a lot of hard questions now about how to oversee that.
Well, Ed, let's talk about some of the things that schools are doing. You talk about Duquesne University and say that they are tightening up rules. There's a new university policy requiring prompt reporting of any alleged child abuse to the university's general counsel, director of public safety, or director of human resources. Aren't there already reporting laws in place on college campuses?
There are a lot of reporting requirements, but a lot of these are not as specific as the one that Duquesne came out with. It also makes it a fireable offense if these things are not reported up the line appropriately and promptly. University of Illinois, for example, is reviewing its policies and how people report about sexual abuse. They also formed a committee, as other universities have, to look at some of the training and educational programs related to sexual abuse. I mean, this is happening at colleges all across the country, from Georgia, Illinois. There's a new policy at Southeastern Louisiana University. They're training their staff and faculty on how to recognize signs for sexual abuse in children. So there's a real concerted effort at a lot of campuses to really take this issue on.
What about questions about who has access to schools? People were stunned to find out that Jerry Sandusky at Penn State was long gone from coaching but still had the keys to the locker room and access to the campus.
Athletics is kind of like that. I mean, athletic directors who've worked places for many years, you know, they hang around, and I would not make the implication at all that there are allegations that there are any other people out there doing bad things like this. But, you know, it's a place where athletic directors stick around and they raise money for the institutions. And, you know, I think the other question is, who has keys to facilities? It may not just be long-time, you know, employees. It could be just people who can roam in and out of facilities. And so it's not just who has keys, but who has access, because a lot of these are public campuses and they're literally open all the time. So who can get in and who has access to potentially, you know, do bad things to kids is something colleges are really looking closely at. And the University of Georgia is looking at that very issue right now, you know, who has access to their athletic facilities. I think you'll see more campuses look at questions like that as well.
You write about Providence College in Rhode Island adding a stipulation to the travel policy. It will now only allow the children or family members of employees to go on road trips with athletic teams. You know, some would say, well, that makes sense. Why should children from outside of the team framework be on those trips? But on the other hand, you know, you think of the times where in, you know, with the right people, that's a trip of a lifetime for a young, you know, an underprivileged kid to participate in a college sport activity. Is this going to be sadly closing a door that might have helped kids?
It may be, but, you know, I think right now colleges are just so concerned about their, you know, protecting students and protecting children and also their exposure to legal problems that those opportunities may have to go away.
What about the roles of boards of trustees? What are they supposed to do?
Great question. You know, boards have, in a lot of cases, been kind of quiet observers of what happens on campuses, and they've typically thought of themselves as, you know, the fiduciaries over institutions, and they really look mostly at financial issues, and they look at whether colleges are spending their money appropriately and what they're spending it on. These issues have really renewed interest in broader oversight from board members, and so I think there are a lot of trustees across the country now that are looking more closely at how they help manage these tricky issues with campuses.
You talk about the Board of Regents at the University of Maryland. This is the same as a Board of Trustees. What are they talking about doing?
Well, they were kind of in the dark about a lot of the financial problems that the athletic department on the College Park campus at University of Maryland was having, and they were really kind of ticked off about it. So I think this is just giving them an opportunity to strengthen their oversight over that athletic department and, you know, not only be able to ask tougher questions sooner, but, you know, get better reporting from the athletic department about financial issues and other problems that they may be running into.
This is reminding us of how schools did soul searching after the campus shooting at Virginia Tech. Do you think this is one of those, you know, convulsions where schools will, you know, take a closer look and maybe make some changes? Do you think that there will be a real shift here in how schools deal with this? What do you think is the outcome?
Schools are looking really closely at their policies to make sure they protect children and protect themselves. And this certainly is leading to a lot of soul searching across the country. And I think you'll continue to see colleges look for ways to better insulate themselves from potential problems like this in the future.
I would think that schools would be concerned, as we said, first and foremost for the safety of kids. You know, secondly, as you said, for the school and its liability. But, you know, there are criminal charges in Pennsylvania as well.
There are. You know, colleges are typically a place where there's not a lot of oversight. Faculty come and go as they want. You know, athletic departments are very insulated from the rest of campus. What's interesting to me is you're seeing, for the first time, a little bit more pressure for accountability from people who often operate, you know, on their own and with a great deal of autonomy. And I think that's what some of the changes you're going to see here lead to.
Brad Wolverton of the Chronicle of Higher Education, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.